A very good morning to you, family of GMDS. It's another Sunday morning, and it's a great pleasure to greet you in the name of Jesus. I am so excited this morning for many reasons, one of which, to have the ability to bring grain to you and the ability to bring you to attention to the Word of God. It is always a pleasure to be a representative for the Father in bringing the Word of God from the throne of God into your very hearts. I'm asking you this morning that you would listen attentively to this teaching that I want to release to you. This teaching is so essential during this time when, during the lockdown, there's so much of tension, so much of indifference, so much of trouble that goes on in various environments. So this morning, I want you to be very attentive, and I'm going to attempt this morning again to teach you the Word of God. So would you get out your Bibles, your books, your pens, your highlighting pens, and let the entire family sit attentively to this teaching. That's very essential for your forward movement, for your life to acquire the necessary momentum to go forward. And I pray that you will be blessed. I want to entitle this teaching this morning, The Freedom of Forgiveness. The Freedom of Forgiveness. Why are so many Christians living defeated lives, overcome by fear, depression, anxiety, sicknesses, and disease? This is in spite of the many promises that the Bible guarantees for you and I. What is stunting or stopping the growth of Christians? Why are Christians still immature after so many years of the Christian walk? Could it just be this 13-letter word, unforgiveness? Unforgiveness. I'd love for us to turn to our Bibles and read the story or the parable found in Matthew chapter 18, from verse 21 to 35. Matthew 18, 21 to 35. It's the parable of the unforgiving servant. Let's read together from the New King James Version. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven, note the kingdom of heaven, is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. In today's monetary value, in our currency, it will equal to more or less 86 million rands. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Verse 27 is exceptionally important to take note of. Then the master of that servant was moved with, one, compassion, two, released him, and three, forgave him the debt. In other words, wrote the debt off of 86 million rand. But the same servant that was forgiven of 86 million rands went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. In today's terms, that would be about 220 rands. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe me." That was 220 rand. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And this guy would not, but went out, threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved, came and told their master all that had been done. And then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry, delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. I want to read verse 35 and zero in on that scripture. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart, postured from his heart, deep from the recesses of your heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Let's take note of some key aspects of this parable. Remember, a parable is an earthly story but has a heavenly meaning. Jesus spoke in parables because his intention was that those that are connected to him must make the changes. This was not meant for the heathens and those outside the covenant, but it was meant for those in the covenant, that we should take note of this parable. And note also that he said the kingdom of heaven is like this parable. So if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, then you must practice the principles locked within this parable. I'm sure you have, you understand what I'm saying. You have to practice the principles of this parable in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, or realize the kingdom of heaven, or know the intents of the heart of the Father when he is speaking. So let's unpack some key aspects of this parable. The debt was 10,000 talents, which I said was more or less 86 million rand today. And it was an unpayable debt. It meant that the servant, his family, his children, his wife had to be sold, and all the things that he possessed had to be sold in order to pay this debt. He begs and cries for the mercy of the master. The master then releases compassion, releases him or forgets this debt, and then forgives him. Three things you must take note of. One, compassion. Two, release him. Three, forgave him. So in your life and in my life, when someone comes to beg for compassion, for forgiveness, or someone is asking you to forgive them, you must have compassion on them. Secondly, you have to release that person, which means forget what they've done to you. Thirdly, you forgive that person so that the relationship before the offense is restored. Okay? When you think of a husband and wife, when the husband is begging for the wife's forgiveness and the wife, through compassion, releases him and forgives him, it now releases this man from obligation, from being chained and entrapped, and is released to go free. So he enjoys the freedom of that forgiveness. But in the story, we realize also that the same guy that was forgiven failed to forgive someone that owed him just 220 rand. Yeah, the master forgives him of 86 million rand, and he cannot forgive someone of 220 rand. That's sad. Not so. He had no compassion. He grabs him by the throat. He throttles him. He throws him into prison. What an ungrateful person. His lack of compassion, his lack of appreciation, his lack of forgiveness results in him being thrown into prison and results in him becoming a victim of bondage. This is an example of what transpired at Calvary. We owed God an unpayable debt because of our sins. God provided Jesus as a means to forgive us. In other words, he nailed his son on the cross to release us from our sins. He gave his son to die on the cross so that your sin and my sins could be forgiven. We became enriched while Jesus became poor. We became sinless while Jesus took upon his body all our sins. As we refuse to forgive those who have hurt or offend us, we are holding them in continued debt to us. This is what the book of John chapter 20 verse 23 says. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven of their sins. But if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. In other words, you have the ability to forgive someone their sins and they will be forgiven. You have the ability to forgive someone of an offense and they are forgiven. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse number 10. And I want to read that from the Amplified Bible, Matthew 24, verse 10. And at that time, which is this time, many will be offended. Many, not few, many will be offended. Listen, many are going to be offended. Offended for the simplest of things. Offended because of misunderstanding. The Bible says many will be offended and repelled and will fall away from the one whom they should trust. And they will betray one another, handing over believers to the persecutors, and will hate one another. These are the last days, beloved. And we are stressing this. These are the last days. And a key factor to look out for is offense. People will be offended all over. Husbands will be offended by wives. Wives will be offended by children. Tenants will be offended by landlords. Congregations will be offended by the pastors in their preaching. There's going to be an escalation. There's going to be an increase of offense. Many, the Bible says, will be offended. You know why? Verse 12 tells us. Because lawlessness is increased and the love of most people, not few people, most people will grow cold. So people are going to grow cold, indifferent to the gospel. People are going to rise up against one another. People don't like to be told. People want to possess an independent spirit. I'm talking about believers. Independent spirit, they are going to classify conviction as an offense, or the pastor offended me. He picked me out. He's throwing stones. But yet, the man of God is just preaching the word of God. Your response to the word of God is one of offense due to lawlessness and the increase of lawlessness in our, amongst our people. So if we refuse to forgive those who have hurt or offend us, we hold them in continued debt to us. That's sad. We forget the unpayable debt to God has been cancelled because of the mercy of God. We have not appreciated nor understood the forgiveness of God to us. And sadly, today, many people have forgotten where they were and how God took them out and how God brought them out of that situation. You know, I've realized also as a pastor, when you meet some people for the first time, when they come into the congregation, they are so meek, they are so willing, they are so warm, they're so respectable. But as they get on, somehow they get familiar in the house. And when they're familiar, then they start to be offended and easily vent how they feel. And sometimes it may not be pleasant, or it may not be the fault of anyone else but ourselves, because we are offended internally because of the posture of our heart. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32. The Bible says, and be kind to one another. I stress the word kind. Secondly, be tender-hearted. Thirdly, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Beloved, you and I have no right not to forgive the ones that come up against us, the ones that hurt us, the ones that that speak about us and do us in, because you are locked into Christ. You are elevated from the natural plane. You live from above. You locked into a position called Christ. And in that position as a son of God, you only live like Christ on the earth. Your nature is one like Christ. And Christ was always kind, tender-hearted, forgiving those that hurt him, wanted to kill him, throw him down a cliff. And even on the cross of Calvary, one of the set of words that he mentioned, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sometimes we have to have compassion for those that hurt us because they don't know any better. And I pray to God that you will find it in your heart to be kind, tender-hearted to one another, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Come to think about it, when you don't forgive someone, it becomes a boulder inside of you. It locks you from freedom. It strangulates you. It keeps you troubled, offended. Your head is always heavy. Not so. Matthew 18:35, and we've stressed that if you do not forgive, he will not forgive you. Instead, he will hand you over to the tormentors. Who are the tormentors we are handed over to? Obviously, to oppressing demonic spirits. Yes, oppressing demonic spirits. This is what 1 Corinthians 5:5 tells us, reading again from the New King James Version. If we do not forgive and we harbor this thing within us against another human being, God will deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. In other words, God can deliver you over to tormentors so that your soul will be saved, your spirit will be saved, never mind the destruction of your flesh. The devil has a right to eat of your flesh. You know that. God has given him the right to eat of the flesh. And if you live in the flesh, unforgiveness is a part of the flesh. It's a behavioral pattern of the flesh. And if you live by the flesh, Satan has the right to destroy you. But your spirit will be saved on the day of the Lord Jesus. What is the torment? Number one, it includes various sickness such as chronic migraines, arthritis, rheumatism, heart failure, diabetes, strokes, cancers, ulcers. In fact, it is generally agreed in medical circles that ulcers are caused not so much by what the person eats, but by what eats the person. Secondly, what is this torment when you're handed over? Constant restlessness, the bombarding against the walls of your mind. Thirdly, medical science often refers to these sicknesses as psychosomatic, derived from two Greek words. One, psyche, means soul, and soma means body. In other words, it implies physical disorders caused by unhealthy emotional and mental attitudes such as fears, anxiety, depression, hatred, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, etc. Fourthly, the consequences of unforgiveness are not restricted to sickness alone. Marriages are often destroyed, ends up in divorce. Families are torn apart. Relationships are destroyed. Jobs are lost. And fifthly, people turn to alcoholism and finally suicide. It is a very high price to pay. Is it really worth it to harbor unforgiveness, not to release fellow brother or sister, to harbor that forgiveness, unforgiveness? Some of us, and I think I'm right, some of us are harboring unforgiveness for a long time. We're not in talking terms with siblings. We're not in talking terms with our parents. We are not in talking terms with people that once contributed meaningfully into our lives. Something went wrong. I want you to examine your life. Was you the problem of being offended? Again, Matthew 24:10. Because you wanted to be lawless. Some of our relationships have landed up in the junkyard because of offenses. I want you to address this realistically today, brothers and sisters in the faith. Matthew 6:12 tells us, "Forgive us, Lord," in our prayer, "as we forgive." Forgive us as we forgive. Forgive us as we forgive. In other words, as we forgive, Lord, you must forgive us. That's the prayer of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew 18:35, unless you forgive from your heart, not from your lips. You know, so many people forgive from their lips. Okay, I'll forgive you, I'll forgive you. It becomes a common cliche. But now God is saying to us, if we don't want to be handed over, if we don't want to be in trouble with God, if we want to realize the full impact and the essence of the forgiveness of God in our lives. Beloved, forgiveness is very important because every day we mess up some way or another. So we need the forgiveness of God 70 times 7 in our lives. Continuously, we have to be humble because humility attracts the attention of God. The Bible says God is near to those who are of a humble spirit. So let us today take heed to this. Human forgiveness is the condition to receive divine forgiveness. Matthew 6:12. If certain conditions are fulfilled, there is no limit to Christ's law of forgiveness. What's the condition? 1. Repentance. 2. Confession. In Hebrews 12, verse 15, one may forfeit God's forgiveness by maintaining a bitter or an unforgiving heart. In Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32, talks about bitterness, resentment, animosity are totally incompatible with the Christian walk. I say that again. Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32 tells us that if we harbor bitterness, resentment, animosity, this type of behavior is totally incompatible with the Christian walk. So, I want you today, I know some of you have gone through painful experiences. That's why it's developed this bitterness in you. That's why you're harboring this grudge and resentment and animosity. It's hardened your heart because of the pain you've gone through. But I want you this moment to press past the pain. Anytime we seek to please people, instead of pleasing God, a mental battle usually takes place, beloved. We feel conflict inside when living to please people because we are not living to please God. And we are not being true to ourselves. At times we become people pleasers because we are insecure due to an emotional wound from abuse, from rejection, from abandonment, from betrayal, from disappointment, from judgment, or criticism. If you have an emotional wound, Jesus can heal you everywhere you hurt. The Bible teaches that Jesus came to heal our wounds, to bind up and heal our broken hearts, and to give us beauty for ashes and dust, and the oil of joy to replace mourning. You read that in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3. To begin to heal, we often need to start making right choices while we are still hurting. This can be difficult and painful. We may have to do the right thing for a long time before we begin to see right results, pressing past our feelings to gain victory. For example, treating someone right who has hurt us seems unfair. After all, why should we be good to someone who has hurt us? Even though it isn't easy, we can choose to do so because Jesus told us to. Read that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 to 44. If someone has hurt me and I'm bitter about it, I open the door for the pain to continue. Bitterness is a pain in itself, beloved. It is a negative attitude that steals joy and peace. However, if I'm willing to forgive and begin to pray for and bless those who have hurt me, I will be free. Let me say that again. If I'm willing to forgive and begin to pray for and bless those who have hurt me, I will be free. Read that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Let me tell you, when you start to forgive someone, it fosters intimacy with God. Unforgiveness keeps you miles away from God. God distances himself away from those that don't forgive and were not prepared to forgive and harbors unforgiveness, keeps that offense for a long time inside your heart. Your heart's supposed to be reserved for God and for the word of God to come into that heart and direct your life and navigate your pathway into the great things of God. Don't block your own pathway, beloved. Don't lock yourself in your own prison. Forgiveness will foster intimacy with God. Many people decide that forgiving those who have hurt them is just too hard. And I understand it as a preacher. So they refuse to do it. Indeed, forgiving is difficult. I say that again. Forgiving is difficult. But in making the decision not to forgive, they are making one of the most serious mistakes they can possibly make. Why is it so serious? Because not forgiving those who have sinned against us hinders our intimacy with God. Do you want to be hindered? Do you want to see the kingdom of God but not enter the kingdom of God? Do you want to be the furthest away from God? Or do you want to have an intimate, close bond with the Father? Who wouldn't want the Father's touch, the Father's words, the Father's intimacy? Come on, all of us want that. That is our place of security. But if we are unforgiving, we're going to be far away from our Abba Father. If our sins stand between us and God, we will struggle to hear His voice and feel His presence. I firmly believe that harboring unforgiveness steals our peace and our joy. It affects our health negatively and robs us of our general well-being. The enemy will attempt to trap you in unforgiveness. Don't fall into his evil ways and wicked ways. Come on. You are much smarter than that. Come on, I want you not to be a victim, bait for Satan. Come on. The enemy will attempt to trap you in unforgiveness in order to damage your relationship with God. God wants you to forgive those who have hurt you. And what a beautiful place today to get down on your knees and talk to your Father and say, Father, I'm ready to forgive those that have hurt me. God wants to forgive those who have hurt you so you can stay close to Him, find freedom, and move forward in the great plan He has for your life. I'm enjoying speaking about this because I want you to be set free. What are the results of unforgiveness? Number one, unforgiveness gives Satan the legal ground. Don't give him the legal ground over your marriage, over your life, over your children, over your relationship, over your worship life. Don't give him the legal ground. Yet, when you have unforgiveness, you give him the legal ground. Whenever we walk in unforgiveness, Satan has a legal right to afflict us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Say that together with me. I will not give the devil place in my life, in my marriage, in my home, in my worship, in my work. Whatever I do, I will give no place to the devil. Unfortunately, unforgiveness automatically gives place to the devil. Unresolved anger gives place to the devil. Does God hand us over to the devil? Yes, I read 1 Corinthians 5:5. You read in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 10. A distressing spirit from God came and possessed Saul. God released a demonic spirit to go and trouble Saul. God's hand of protection is lifted off us when we have unforgiveness towards those that have hurt us. We have willfully chosen to walk outside of God's protection, and therefore the devil is free to torment us until we repent. The dealing of God and Satan are on a legal premise. I say that again. The dealing of both God and Satan are on a legal premise. Once we were under the dictatorship of Satan, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. When we were born again, we stepped out of Satan's authority and came under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two important words, legal words, are used. One, justified. In other words, to be declared not guilty. It's only Jesus can declare us not guilty by us respecting the forgiving anointing, the ability to forgive. That's what Jesus died for. He died on the cross, forgiving us of our sins and restoring us back into the family of God. And we've come into the family of God as adopted sons. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So by faith, you must forgive someone. And if you don't forgive them, you are regarded as an unbeliever. The second legal word is righteousness. In other words, to be right. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Our legal position and our standing before God is justified and righteousness. We are justified and we are made righteous when we forgive someone. The moment we were justified and made righteous by God, we were no longer under Satan's authority. We immediately came under the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we are saved and no longer under Satan's authority, if we willfully choose to walk in unforgiveness, Satan again has a legal right to afflict us, to imprison us, to torment us. Unforgiveness is a sin, and sin is a transgression of God's law. As we walk in transgression, we give place to the devil. We give the devil legal right and authority. We are created free moral agents, beloved. You make the choice to either forgive or not to forgive. God will not violate our freedom of choice. Remember that. From Genesis to Revelation, God will not violate our freedom of choice. Your choice moves the hand of God or triggers a response from God. Another trap that unforgiveness puts us into is a trap of deception. We continue our Christian walk as if everything were fine with the Lord, whereas in fact, we are not even in fellowship with God. If you have harboring unforgiveness against a sibling, against a parent, against a child, against your spouse, God will not hear you. God's furthest away from you. But you're doing all the religious things, coming to church, giving of your substance, singing the songs, praying, wearing this beautiful set of clothes, driving the nice car, carrying the biggest Bible in town. You're doing all these things, but when you harbor in unforgiveness, you are furthest away from God. You are no more in fellowship with God. You are disconnected from God. Beloved, we cannot afford to be disconnected. We cannot afford to be furthest away from our Father. We cannot afford. We cannot afford. Our spiritual beings, our spiritual man needs that connection with Father. Needs Father and His Spirit to fill the inner man. Not unforgiveness, not offenses, but the Spirit of Christ must fill us. So Satan wants you to walk in unforgiveness, walk in deception. Stop it. Today, stop. It's not worth it. You are the loser when you harbor unforgiveness. 1 John 2 verse 9 and 11 tells us, to walk in unforgiveness means to walk in darkness. You'll be tormented, you'll be affliction, you'll be afflicted, you'll have no direction. 1 Peter 5:9 tells, resist the devil now by immediately forgiving. Come on, resist the devil right now. Push him up and say, devil, I want to forgive every single one that had it, that I offended or offended me or hurt me or robbed me or stole from me, or degraded me. Come on, I want to release it. It's not worth me holding it. I resist you, devil. I'm going to forgive. You're not going to keep me in this prison anymore. Take a hold of your inheritance, beloved. Take a hold of your peace. Take a hold of your happiness. It's your choice. Choose today your inheritance. Choose today your peace. Choose today your happiness. Let that stone crack. That boulder that is inside of you, let it crack right now. In Jesus' name, let it crack. Let it break. Let it go. Let it be fragmented. I blow it out. I shake it. Let a shout of the King be amongst us. I declare and speak against that rock. It must be broken right now. Cracked in Jesus' name. And dissolved and moved out of your life. Oh, I feel like preaching. You cannot afford to keep unforgiveness inside of you. It's destructive. It's going to destroy you, destroy your relationship, destroy those around you. Hebrews 12:15 says, lest any root of bitterness springing up will cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Not some, many become defiled. The root of bitterness springing up inside of you. Listen, when you have unforgiveness, eventually it's going to affect every part of your life. Bitterness will take a hold of you. The Bible talks of the root of bitterness. Unforgiveness may be a shoot or a branch, but let's go to the root. The root of bitterness springing up will cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Your unforgiveness may be leading to your spouse being defiled, your children being defiled, your loved ones being defiled, your worship being defiled, your giving being defiled. Your coming to the house of God, you may defile the environment just because of the root of bitterness caused by unforgiveness. I want to stop right there and maybe continue next week talking about this whole sin of unforgiveness, the aspect of bitterness. How to get rid of it. It has to leave you, beloved, because it's caused too much of damage in your life. It has robbed you, and we cannot afford anymore to hold on to this boulder that's inside of us. These are the last days, and we have to check out our lives. We have to do a post-mortem in our lives. We have to do an investigation in our lives. We have to do a forensic checkup in our lives. Are there things in our lives that are holding us back? Would you pray with me today and ask God to touch your life? I want to stop right there. Father, in the name of Jesus, as different ones are raising up their hands, ones that have been suffering because of the sin of unforgiveness and has strengthened the root of bitterness in their lives and has thus introduced witchcraft, because stubbornness, resentment, bitterness is like witchcraft. And I'm praying that our people will be set free today. Beloved, you have a choice. You can choose to keep that unforgiveness inside of you, that offense inside of you. Or today you can release it, be set free, and allow the Father to draw close to you. As you draw close to Him, He draws close to you. And a relationship of great worth is birthed by being released from the spirit of unforgiveness. God bless you. Enjoy this week. Shalom. Have a great week. Thank you.